When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 15.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 15, Episode 9. I sincerely cannot believe that we're on our penultimate episode already. This season has genuinely flew. But as ever, we do like to go out with a bit of a bang, and we have two amazing experiences left for this season. One today, obviously, and next week's finale. And in relation to next week, it's one of those experiences that I've held on to for a while and thought, that's a finale. But I found out by doing this show for so long now that paranormal experiences can be like music and can be rather subjective. So maybe you will agree, maybe you won't. What's terrifying for one person may be completely mundane for somebody else. But I think either way, you'll either enjoy the experience or, like me, it will play on your mind. And when I say it will play on your mind, I don't mean necessarily it will terrify the wits out of you. What I mean is this story has popped into my mind at least once a week since I received it at the start of this season. And speaking of receiving submissions, never forget, we're always accepting submissions for The Dark Paranormal. As you're probably aware by now, I like to have a season scheduled out before I go into it, so season 16 is pretty much nailed down. But, as usual, there is always space for the right experience. So please don't let that put you off. By all means, we will accept any sort of submission of any size. Because if we don't use it for a dark paranormal episode, it will find itself either on a dark minisode, or it will go into our Dark Bites Patreon-only podcast, but either way, your experience will find an audience. Because I do believe that if somebody has taken the time to sit down and write up their paranormal experience, which sometimes they've never told anyone due to not being believed, the very least I can do is put that experience in front of our listeners. And speaking of our show Dark Bites, it's time to say a huge thank you to our team over at Patreon. When you choose to join our team over at Patreon, not only do you receive every episode on this feed, both ad-free and before anyone else, you can also gain exclusive access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites is out each and every week of the year, even on the downtime between seasons. And with a break in seasons coming up, joining now means you don't miss your dark paranormal fix, because Dark Bites features some of the shorter experiences that didn't quite make the show. But believe me, that's only down to length. And there's around 70 hours of back catalogue editions for you to go and binge. But the best thing about Patreon is the community. We have built a wonderful community of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts over at Patreon. And we'd love to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have. Kathleen Berry, Dolly Malcolm, Hey That's Karma, Kelly Pemberthy, Christine, Shimron Pereira, Ursa Yornhill Marson, Kristen Jackson, Waffle House Witch, Amanda M, Ash, Louise Nash, Sarah Grant, Darice Ruiz, Ariana Campbell, Martin Lowe, Jack Gray, John Hill, Rakita Robertson, Reenie Wright, Grace Angevine, and Kerry Davies. So, guys, thank you so much for supporting the show. It genuinely means the world to me. And I sincerely hope you enjoy all of the extra Patreon content. So, if early ad-free releases, including the upcoming finale and indeed the debut episode of Season 16, plus a weekly Patreon-only podcast and access to the back catalogue of almost 70 hours of content sounds like something you'd enjoy, then why not join our wonderful community by heading over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal? But right now, for the penultimate time this season, it's time to lower those lights. Make yourself comfortable. And, of course, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear all about the demonic deck. My story is a cautionary one, but I feel it's important for people to hear. In the summer of 2020, I finally escaped a mentally abusive relationship with one of the worst men I'd ever known. After being lied to, talked down to, and belittled, I had little to no self-esteem. I thought I was not worth love, and I could never find someone who would treat me how I deserved. After the relationship, I had to mend the pieces of my broken friendships, broken relationships with family that I'd lost on the way. I also needed to find and furnish a whole apartment, as my ex had all the furniture and belongings. Having no money, I was going to second-hand shops and thrift stores. My style was more gothic and apothecary, like if Dracula and Frankenstein lived together. Well, that would have looked like my apartment. My favourite piece of wall decor was an old plaque from a funeral home and a framed tarantula. I'd even occasionally take naps in a coffin that I had in my spare room. It was definitely Halloween all year round. But I was extremely lonely, and I found myself on the dating apps, trying to find some sort of connection. But during this time, I was looking to date both men and women, since men were clearly not working out. And that's when I met my future girlfriend, Mary. Mary had recently gotten out of her own abusive relationship and was also looking to date a woman, same as me. She was a sweet girl and a few years younger than myself. Well, we hit it off instantly, even though I made her nervous with my dominant personality. Also, it probably didn't help that the first time we met in person, I was dressed in my police uniform. Mary was a self-proclaimed witch and dabbled in all sorts of magic. And although I would definitely be placed in the goth category, I never really got into the whole magic thing. But Mary taught me about crystals, astrology, and spellcasting. I felt liberated, and I was slowly gaining my self-confidence once again. Mary opened up to me about her relationship with her ex, and how it was a nasty breakup. She told me she wanted him to pay for hurting her. So one day, she cast a spell on him. She believed that spell caused him to have a motorcycle accident, one that broke his leg. Well, to say I was intimidated would be an understatement. She also taught me a lot about tarot as well. She would read my tarot cards to me and suggested I got my own deck. Eventually, we go along to a witch shop to find me a deck. The shop itself smelled strongly of incense, but had a warm, calming feeling, and I felt instantly at peace. We looked all around at the different decks, and one in particular caught my eye. It was a black deck with glittering red edges. This deck was beautiful. She told me that the deck would choose me, kind of like Harry Potter with his wand. She picked up the deck and walked towards the register. I insisted on paying, but she told me no one pays for their first deck. And she meant it. We were eager to open it, but she told me I should open it alone, since I will be the one connected with it personally, and I should not let her or anyone else touch it. I agreed. I got home and I opened the box. The cards were smooth and stiff. I turned them over, only to be met with a grotesque image of a demon. The deck had a demon on each card, the demon's name, and what they were known for. But rather than being scared or appalled, I was actually in awe. I wanted to learn more. Not only could I learn tarot, but I could also be versed in demons. How cool, I thought. Mary took the time to show me how to read tarot, and she got me a beginner's book on how to utilize them. I felt I was getting rather good, and I took those cards everywhere I went. I mean everywhere. To work, the grocery store, I even slept with them under my pillow. This was the happiest I'd felt in a long time. I was dating a good friend, I was comfortable in my own skin, financially stable and independent. But although things were great with Mary, and they were, I did begin to view her only as a friend. I didn't like feeling masculine in my role of dating women, and I preferred being more feminine with a male companion. Mary may have been feeling the same, as she would go long periods without speaking to me. I was somewhat relieved that I didn't need to break it to her. I view every relationship as a lesson, and she clearly taught me things. Things I thought I needed to know at the time. But it took me a long while to realize I wish she hadn't. Along with showing me the mystical, Mary also showed me how she was able to hex her ex. And even though I was now doing well in my life, I did want my ex to suffer, just like Mary's did. Particularly, I wanted him to be financially ruined, his heart stomped on, and, well, have trouble in the bedroom, shall we say. I won't go into detail about how I carried out the hex, but it involved a black candle, his photo, and just knowing his name. I prepared my candle next to my coffin bed, lit the candle, burnt his picture, and stared into the flame. I kept staring. I stared at that candle until it was a puddle of wax on the table. In this moment, I was excited. In the following weeks, I learned that my ex had had to sell his truck, move into his brother's house, because he was struggling financially. Then, he met a girl who apparently abused him emotionally. And people, whom we were mutual friends with, said even they thought she was harsh, and they knew how he treated me. But I can't say I felt bad for him. I also can't confirm if he had any hanky-panky issues. Several months later, I found my now husband, and he was everything I'd ever wanted and more. He adopted my interest in the occult, demons, witchcraft. He even went so far as to purchase a Baphomet comforter for me, one which I adored. Fast forward a couple of years, and he proposed. I said yes, and a month later we found out that I was pregnant. We were ecstatic. I retired my tarot deck at this point, and it became a mantelpiece for a while whilst planning the wedding and various baby-related events. In the midst of all this, we also found a cute house to rent as we would need the room. I felt I should cleanse the home of any residual energy left by the previous tenants. But this was now common for me, as I'd rented 15 apartments in the last 8 years. I go to the empty house, sage and lighter in hand, and of course I chose 9 o'clock at night to do this. I went room to room, smudging with sage and opening windows, allowing that smoke to seep through every corner. At this time, there was nothing in the home other than one light in the kitchen and one in the living room. Walking through, fanning the smoke, I got to what I thought would be the baby's room. It just felt darker than the rest of the home. I didn't dwell on this, though. I thought it might just be because the home is empty and unsettlingly quiet. I moved to the master bedroom and stopped in front of the closet. The closet was wide open, and like my future son's room, it felt darker than the rest of the home. I approached the closet, stuck my arm out and reached the threshold. I got chills and goosebumps that covered my entire body. The closet was easily 10 degrees cooler than the rest of the house. I was genuinely scared. I grasped my large pregnant belly and began saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. This did not make me feel any better. I ran out of that home, leaving all the lights on. The excitement I had felt to move into my new place now completely diminished. I hoped it was all in my head. About a month later, we moved in, and everything was fine. Of course, there were remnants of cockroaches, random items in the backyard. We found nearly 400 fish hooks and several rusty screwdrivers. It needed work for sure. But thankfully, it was only a rental, and therefore a temporary problem, if you will. I gave birth to a healthy baby boy, and our young family finally began. He was the purest thing I'd ever seen. This new baby was the closest I'd felt to God in years. We both felt it was best for the baby that we turn towards God. But doing this meant we needed to rid our lives of the occult and anything demonic. I began by throwing out the now old Baphomet comforter, and I tried selling anything I could, trashing what I couldn't sell. One thing I was able to sell was my tarot deck. So I slapped a shipping label on it and I sent it out in the post. The buyer was waiting eagerly, so I kept an eye on the tracking. Although the tracking was never updated, it kept saying pending and eventually was deemed lost. The thought of my deck being out in the world, unaware of where it was, scared me. I'd never had this happen, and the chances of it happening to this particular item was odd. But eventually, I forgot about the deck, and thought it might be a blessing that the deck didn't go to someone else. Life went on. We attended church regularly, and prayed every day. Life seemed to be rinse and repeat. Wake up, tend to baby, go to sleep, wake up, tend to baby, try to eat, try to decide if food or sleep is more important. It's true newborn baby fashion. And I was awake every morning at 4:30 by a crying baby. Nothing out of the ordinary at this point. But ever since putting baby in his room, it meant I needed to get up instead of just rolling over to feed him. I'd groggily go into the baby's room and grab a bottle which was sitting on the table next to the crib. This particular table had a pile of burp cloths in a basket and a box next to that. This pile of burp cloths did not exceed the top of the basket they were in. Once finished, I'd place the empty bottle next to the basket and go back to my room. One time doing this in the very early hours of the morning, I lay awake, thinking of what needed to be done for the next day, and trying to go back to sleep. just as I was about to fall asleep, I heard what sounded like a tapping on the baby monitor. I thought he might have woken up again, so I looked at the monitor and nothing. I shrugged it off as possibly the baby snoring, and I went back to sleep. But I was again woken up. I looked at the clock. 5:30 a.m. Son of a bitch, I muttered, grabbing a new bottle from the kitchen. I attempted to give the baby the bottle, but he did not want it. I go to place the bottle on the table next to the basket, like I always do. With it being dark, I relied on my sense of touch, and I knew the layout. What the hell? There were items strewn all about the table. The cloths were on the table where I normally place the bottle. I put the bottle on the floor instead and rocked my baby. After he fell back asleep, I grabbed the bottle and went back to my room. I was somehow able to fall asleep, and I woke up around 8:30 to my baby crying. I went to retrieve him from his crib, and he seemed happy, and cooed as I picked him up. Remembering the table, I looked over, and to my horror, I saw what was on the table. Toppled over were the burp towels in a heap. Although they were still folded, it looked like someone had picked the stack up from the middle, placed them on the table, and gave them a nudge. Shockingly, none of them had fell off, and the table was small. I lifted the stack up and placed them all back in the basket, exposing the table top, where there are several milk rings from me repeatedly putting bottles down. Even though there is a camera in that room, it sadly doesn't have recording capabilities. But as I said earlier, there's no way they could have fallen out because they were never high enough to fall. How this happened is still completely unknown. Today's show is sponsored by Acorns. Now, I used to believe investment was only for people on Wall Street or people with finance degrees, people who used phrases like buy low, sell high, and other things I will never understand. But the one thing I do understand is the importance of letting your money and your future having a chance to grow. However, investments can seem daunting and most people don't know where to start. And for many people, including me, you believe you need a lot of money before you start investing. Plus, we all have busy lives and we don't have the time to go researching how you start investing. So we say I'll do it tomorrow or next week or next month, but we all know tomorrow never comes. But Acorns make it so easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommend an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals and then automatically invest your money for you. I've recently turned 45 and investment has never been on my radar, but people like Acorns are so clear and straightforward they've not only put it on my radar but took it off my plate. So head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app today and start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Eventually, I forgot about this and I chalked it off as a weird little occurrence. I continued to rid my life of the occult and demonic items. I feel lighter. But me and my husband now fall into financial hardship. And I felt more distant from him than I ever had in our 3 years together. We were also constantly sick, and our morale was always low. Despite all of this, we continued going to church and praying for life to turn around. One thing that always made me feel better was going for walks. I'd take my little one for walks, and at that time, out of the house, life was good. He and I walked to our community mailbox to retrieve the mail. I put the key in the slot, opened the box, and my heart nearly beat out of its chest, as there was my package, my deck, my demon tarot deck. How was it back? It's been nearly a month and no updates, but here it is. And it looks exactly how I sent it. But there it is. That night, my husband built a fire in the backyard and he burnt the deck. But he said it was very difficult to burn. I thought it was because it was a densely packed deck. He thought it was for other reasons. Needless to say, instead of trying to sell items, I now opted to throw them away. Photos of nuns with devil horns, trashed. A statue of a cat posing like Baphomet, trashed. A t-shirt of a burning church, trashed. Everything needed to go. I felt I was in the early stages of being harassed by demons. They were losing me, and they knew it. I prayed harder than ever. I prayed over my baby's crib. I was intensely worried that my baby would be in harm's way. Thankfully, I had great support from my husband and my dad, along with my dad's wife. She herself is no stranger to the occult, and shared with me her experiences with the other side. She told me not to be scared, to stay confident, and pray frequently. So I did just that. Several months went by and I felt good. Not great, but good. I no longer thought of these demons or experienced anything out of the ordinary. We all stopped getting sick and morale was overall better. I even began sleeping better. If you've ever had little to no sleep for long periods of time and only sleep in short increments, you'll notice you don't dream. Or at the very least, you don't remember them. And I never remembered them. Except for one night. This night was very, very different. I was in a suburban home. In an all-white home. A home with crisp green grass. I walked into the home through the large French doors that divided the home. And I saw a body on an operating table. Waiting to be examined for autopsy. Instinctively, I knew I was the examiner. I put my gloves on and began the exam, noting on a clipboard the sex, female. Age, 29. Eye colour, brown. Hair colour, blonde, etc. When it got to the height, I had no way of measuring. I thought, I'm 5.5 feet. So I climbed on the table and laid next to the body to measure the height. I look at the face next to me, and even though it was a side profile, eyes closed and facing the ceiling, it was my face. I looked at myself and then looked at the feet to match the height. I look back, and the cadaver of myself is now lifelessly staring at my alive self. I stared, and her face slowly morphed into that of my infant son. I yell and jump off the table. I ran towards the French doors and look back. The body that was there a moment ago is now gone. I run towards the front door and I'm met by an elderly black woman who points to a ditch of mangled body parts. She then asks me if that's what I wanted. If I wanted to be that mash of body parts. I scream no and I ran from her, crossing a large road and standing on a grass median were three individuals, all heavy set with several dogs in tow. There was a white male and a Hispanic and black female. The three were yelling at me indistinguishably and tried keeping me from leaving the house. The dogs were hysterically barking, attempting to bite me. I was able to pass them unscathed and get to the other side of the road. When I woke up, I remembered every detail of this dream. Well, nightmare. What I thought was over was still occurring. But this was only a dream, right? For my exclusively pumping mummers out there, they know the struggle of needing to wake up in the middle of the night to breast pump, as part of the rinse and repeat schedule. Well, I'd routinely wake up at 4:30 a.m, pump for 15 minutes, and go back to sleep. This particular morning, the TV was on, so I lay awake, watching after I was done pumping. I cannot stress to you, I was awake for about 20 to 25 minutes when I suddenly hear what can only be described as a long, terrifying scratch on the inside of my closet door. It was deliberate. It was long. It ran the length of my door and made a distinct sound as it reached the bottom. It was so long I had time to think to myself, "That's my door. What's that? It sounds like a scratch." And I began saying the Lord's Prayer. I stared at my closet door and decided to ignore it, because what was I meant to do? I just tried to go back to sleep. I didn't want to give it my attention. But little did I know, it would demand my attention. I fell asleep and had a normal dream about work. I was in the middle of a call for service when I was placed in my own bed. I remember being confused about how I could be in my room. As I'm thinking this, the door to my closet slowly creaked open, exposing the black closet, not allowing light to touch it. I held up my hands and gave the closet the double middle finger and said, "F you, demons." As I did so, a dark mass appeared before my bed. It was shaped like a man and began inching towards me. At this moment, I could hear a baby crying within the closet. Finding the courage, I pushed past the figure and reached the threshold, and the crying ceased. But then the door swung wide open, and it was beckoning me to enter. I stood there for a moment, hyperventilating, looking at nothing but the empty black closet. I go back to bed and I bang as hard as I can on the wall, trying to get my husband's attention. I couldn't even scream. And then I woke up in my bed, in the dark. Trembling, I fumble for my phone to illuminate the room. I text my husband for him to come to the bedroom. I didn't tell him what happened. Instead, I fell asleep in his arms. The next morning, I looked at my closet, my previously closed closet door, and it was now open. I didn't have the courage to look inside yet. I instead tried to rationalize things. I speculated something could have maybe fallen off a shelf, a shoe, a backpack, a pair of jeans. I do keep a shoe organizer on the inside, and that hangs on the door, so maybe that fell. Well, it took nearly till dinner time for me to pluck up the courage to look. And what I found horrified me. It horrified me more than I could have thought. What I found was nothing. Everything was in place. Not a stitch of clothes were out of order, and there was nothing on the floor. This meant what I heard did not come from this inanimate object. Something had scraped and scratched down my door. But what? Everything, and I do mean everything linked back to the occult and demons, were gone. We flushed out everything, and we were finally feeling more secure financially. Our relationship was stronger, our family felt lighter, and church was a regular thing. A normal day. A normal, boring day. I lay my baby in his crib for a nap. As, of course, he usually takes up most of my day, when he naps, I try and do as much as I can. I grab the baby monitor and start the water for the shower, and I undress. It's a treat to get any shower time in peace, without a baby screaming in the background. I do my routine quickly. I don't want the baby to wake up, so I cut my shower very short. First, I used a cloth to wash. I begin washing my hair. I reach over for the conditioner, and realizing it's super light, which I'm sure everyone can relate to, I start shaking it violently, trying to get that last bit that sunk to the bottom. After doing this violent shaking ritual, I squeeze what's left into my hand and face the shower. And then, a distinct hand is placed on the side of my ribcage. It feels as though it's wearing a glove and pressing firmly on my side. I swatted at the spot, but the feeling did not subside. After a moment or two, the feeling went away, and I was stood there in horror. I looked all around me. My husband was sleeping in his room, and there was no curtain wrapped around me, as it has magnets holding it in place. Well, I jumped out of the shower, sat on the couch in my towel, and tried to calm myself and rationalize it. But I just couldn't. And as I sat there, the baby monitor light indicated noise in the baby's room. It flashes green, yellow, and red when it detects noise, and how loud the noises are. Being just outside in the living room, surely I should hear anything coming from the baby's room too. I grab the monitor, and I hold it closer to my face. There's no movement. I then hear from the monitor, and through the door simultaneously, a female tone barking, like it was imitating a dog. I jumped up and ran into the baby's room, and everything was in order. The baby was still sound asleep, and somehow me running in didn't disturb him. I whispered loudly, "Leave my effing house. Leave my baby alone. This is my house, and you are not welcome here." I go to my bedroom. I put on my St. Michael's pendant necklace that I got from my mother when I graduated the police academy, and I pray to St. Michael to watch over all of us and help. Eventually, things calm down and nothing else has happened, at least to date. The last occurrence happened about 3 months ago, and I'd like to say I'm still wearing my pendant, but the chain broke 3 times. One from the baby, and the other two, well, I have a couple of ideas how they broke. For the most part, life has gone back to normal, apart from seeing the occasional black figure dart around a corner. That I will never get used to. Today's society glamorizes the devil, devil worship, the occult, and witchcraft. The devil isn't interested in what he already has. And that's why he began to harass us. He was losing us. It felt like our souls were being bounced between good and evil, God and the devil. Spiritual warfare. And we chose God. For anyone listening, I hope you do too, if ever faced with that decision. Choose good. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and intent doesn't always justify actions. Thank you for reading my story. I hope to one day listen to your podcast regularly again. I had to stop because my occurrences seem to become more frequent and pronounced when listening. I do miss your podcast. and I hope for its continued success. Victoria. P.S. I still have my coffin bed. You can take the girl out of Spooky, but you can't take the Spooky out of the girl. Well, thank you so much, Vicky, for providing our penultimate episode for Season 9. Now, I will address the elephant in the room before anyone else does. At the end, I'm literally reading verbatim what Vicky has sent in relation to her saying she stopped listening because things started happening when she was listening to the show. We've addressed this in the past, and it will be the last time I address it. If somebody mentions that, I'm just regurgitating their words. Under no way am I implying this show brings about or creates any sort of paranormal activity in the slightest. For me to say so would be absurd. But I will regurgitate somebody else's words if that's what they've sent in to me. So, with that said, what a hell of an experience you went through. But I can't be the only one wondering if your initial spell that you cast on your ex came back to you, as they say, threefold. Because it does sound like that's what took place. That aside, of course, from the demonic element, which I am in no way an expert at, and in all honesty, anyone who claims to be an expert in anything such as that, apart from the obvious literary history, I would take with a pinch of salt, to say the least. But Victoria, thank you once more for such a wonderful penultimate episode for Season 15. So that brings us to an end of Episode 9. I'll speak to you all again midweek for a minisode, our final minisode of this season, before our finale on Friday. For our Patreons, I'll speak to you again Sunday for another edition of Dark Bites. And until then, stay safe, take care, and remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.